Hello and welcome. This is Connie Reagan Green with the Online Marketing Tips Podcast. I'm thrilled to come to you on July 2nd, 2013. This is the second of my podcasts, so hopefully you're subscribed to both of them. If not, go over to hugeprofitstinylist.com and you can find out more about my other podcast in the series. If you're going to iTunes, simply search for Connie Reagan Green. You'll see both of my podcast series as well as other podcasts where I have been a guest. So today what I wanted to talk about was self-publishing. And I have quite a few people on the line, some of them that are quite experienced and well-versed with this topic as well. And I'm honored to have those people with me because we all can continue learning about this, especially as things change. So on the big button there, I've put a link to ConnieReaganGreenBooks.com, and I noticed that if you click on that link, that you then are not able to click on any of the individual books. So you can see my books that are available and then just do a search on Amazon for any of the titles that you want to see further. That link, ConnieReaganGreenBooks.com, simply takes you to my author page, which is an important page to have set up once you start writing books. What I want you to see is that I have my latest book out, Living the Internet Lifestyle, Quit Your Job, Become an Entrepreneur, and Live Your Ideal Life. That book was just published on June 21st, 2013, so it's just a couple of weeks old, and I'm very, very proud of it because more and more I'm sharing the more intimate details of how I've been able to achieve the success that I have, and publishing is a huge part of that. So you'll see that I have quite a few books there, and what I've included on the author page are my 9 books. Of those 9, 7 I wrote by myself, and 2 I wrote with a co-author, with Jeff Hoff, and then also I've contributed to a variety of books, and the way that I handle that is I have them off and on of my author page. So I just recently had one removed because I had my new book added, and it's very, very simple to just contact Amazon, and they'll do whatever you're asking them to do. All they do is verify it. So this last time, I gave them the title of the book, and I said, I am a contributor to that book, but I would no longer wish to have it on my author page, and within 24 hours, they removed it. So I like that, and some of the books I leave on for a while, if somebody's doing a promotion, it helps them if I leave their book that I've contributed to on my author page. And just for a variety of reasons, the books move off and on. The books that I've written, or those 7 books, or the 2 that I have co-authored, stay on my author page at all times. You'll also see on the right-hand page there, that right-hand side of the page, is that my latest tweet is showing. My recent blog posts, and those are from both of my blogs, they get fed in to this page through an RSS, really simple syndication link, and that's from ConnieReaganGreen.com and HugeProfitsTinyList.com. Below that, it says customers also bought items by, and a lot of these people are people that I know very, very well, and so it helps all of us to have the names here. Now, this is something that Amazon does. I don't have any control over it, but what they're saying is that, you know, people that are buying books from me are also buying books from some of the people that are named on that page. So that's an excellent way to market your books. Below that, you'll see that I have 3 author videos. You can click on any of those. And if you scroll way, way, way down to the bottom, it says Connie Reagan Green's upcoming events. So it shows that I'll be at the Earn 1K a Day seminar in Las Vegas in July and at NAMS 10 in Atlanta in August. So this page represents you very, very well, and this all started with the first book that I wrote almost exactly 3 years ago this week, which was Huge Profits with a Tiny List. So I want to talk more and more about it. Lots of people have questions. And let me go over and look at the questions before I open up the line. All right, so Uma is asking about promoting information products if you don't have a big list. Well, I will tell you, Uma, that one wonderful way is to write a book. And I see another question from you, though. And you said that you also wrote an ebook. And it includes an action guide, an MP3. And you're saying, should I price it at $97? I'd like as many people as possible to learn and benefit from it. So right within that question, you're answering your own question. You can't really charge $100 when you're new and don't have much of a list. It's very hard to get people to see what you're doing. So what I would do is I would publish that book, and you said it's on finding and following your dreams. I would publish that book on Amazon. You could do it either as Kindle or as a paperback on CreateSpace, or as I do with my books, typically they start in paperback, and then finally I wait about 6 months and I bring them over to Kindle. With one of the books that I wrote with Jeff Hoff, Time Management Strategies for Entrepreneurs, we did that the opposite way. It came out on Kindle, and 6 months later, we turned it into a paperback. So you can do that and really start to get a following for your niche topic over on Amazon, and that will help you sell more of your information products. So I hope that that answers your question at least somewhat. Now, another thing that you can do is, if you want to do this just as an information product, so not as a book, away from Kindle, you can put it on a site called JVZoo. And if you go to connieloves.me/JVZoo, then you're able to sign up for a free account. And you can set up your own affiliate program there. It's very, very inexpensive what they charge you per sale. And many of my students are doing things this way, especially in the beginning. It's an excellent way to get started. I use Nanocast because I've been online now. This is my 7th year, so I'm doing things differently. I have about 40 products of my own, so the JVZoo platform doesn't work as well for me. But in the beginning, it's really perfect. And what I would recommend is that you offer 75% commission to affiliates. That way you connect with people that can promote for you. They're receiving most of the money, and you are building a buyer's list, which is extremely, extremely valuable. All right, Vicki has a question. She said, do you design your own Kindle book covers or hire someone to do it for you? And I'm glad you're asking this question, Vicki, and I believe that you're on the call live right now. And the reason I'm glad is the discussion of outsourcing is one that comes round and round. And I'm writing a blog post on it right now that I hope to have finished by tomorrow, and I even have a link there to Dennis Becker's excellent course at connieloves.me/outsourced. So it's with a D in the end, the past tense of outsourced. And the reason that I love this type of training is that it really breaks down the process of outsourcing and why it's so important. So for me, during that first year that I was online, so 2006 to 2007, I was telling myself every day that I had to do everything myself, that I wasn't making any money, and I was already spending some money, and I couldn't possibly spend another dime on anything, especially not to hire someone to help me, because I wasn't earning money. Well, it turns out that that just doesn't hold any water. It just doesn't. And because I am not a technical person, I thought I was when I first came online, because I had experience when I was teaching and doing real estate with dealing with some technology, but it turned out that when I came online, I was not able to do the technology. It was way, way over my head. So I had to have someone help me in the beginning. And what I did was I bartered services with her. So she would help me. She would set up some sites. She would do a variety of things for me. And I would do some coaching with her. As I started to create products, I would give her my products. When I was teaching courses, I would let her come into my courses. And that worked out really well for about a year and a half or so. And that's one way to do it, where money doesn't have to exchange hands. Later on, I had her do some graphic work for me, and by then I was making more money, and I was paying a number of people to help me. Once I started paying people, and I saw the magic that they could do, I realized how foolish I had been in the beginning by saying that I couldn't hire people to help me. And so I began to look for things that I wanted other people to do. So before I go on with that, I want to say, look around in your life and see what you take care of. Most of us, male and female, don't take care of everything with our automobiles. We really don't. Somebody might change oil or do a few things here or there, fill up the windshield wiper fluid or things like that. But typically, we're not doing any kind of major work on our own cars. We're outsourcing that to people who specialize in that, whether it's a local mechanic, a friend that you have, the dealership, whoever it happens to be. I think about doing my hair. I have colored my hair for a number of years, and in the beginning, I said the same thing. I couldn't possibly go to a beauty shop every 6 weeks and pay them to cut and color my hair. I'll do it myself. So I used to buy a bottle of dark brown color, and I would do it myself, and what a horrible mess I made. And because I wash my hair every day, within a week, that color had completely washed out. And so finally, a year or so later, I began to go to a beauty shop. I found a place that was, in my mind, relatively inexpensive, and I arranged to go there about every 6 weeks and to outsource that part of my life. So I think you get the idea. I don't have to go on and on and on about all the things that somebody else does for us. And if you have children or grandchildren in your life, think of all the things that you outsource to them on a regular basis. And it might be in return for allowance or some extra money or for extra privileges or just because they're part of the family and that's expected of them. So there are all kinds of reasons. I don't want to get into a parenting conversation here, but people do things in a different way. But typically, young people who are living at home are doing some work that needs to be done for the house. This might be taking care of the animals, taking out the trash, washing the car, mowing the lawn. The list is endless. We don't ask young people to do things that we do, that we're good at. So I would not outsource writing articles or blog posts or doing my podcast to anybody else, but I do outsource anything that I consider to be either technical or clerical, because I'm not good at those things even after 7 years online. My technical skills are still very limited, and my clerical skills I don't want to develop any further. I know as much as I want to know. And there are other people who really want and need the work, and by bartering with them or paying them cash, everybody is happy. So now to answer your question, no, I have never created a book cover for all those books. I've had several different people do it for me, and I love what they do. So other people love some of them and don't love others, but I have to say that anything that you're seeing at ConnieReaganGreenBooks.com is a cover that I honestly love and can't imagine any different cover for that particular book. So that is part of publishing that you want to outsource. All right, and says, how do you find somebody good? I know you don't recommend Fiverr. I really don't recommend Fiverr. You can use that as a place to see if you can find somebody that can do a good job for you. There are also sites like Elance.com. There are a variety of sites, but I say use those sites to find someone that you can then finally, and don't break the terms of service for the sites, but the goal would be finally to find someone that would work with you privately away from that site that would be more of a personal helper for you on a regular basis depending on what you need. So also she's saying, should I go to the local college art class and ask if anyone is looking for work? You could do it that way. What I would do is put up a little sign and say what it is that you need. So you might say, you know, I write and publish my own books, because you don't want to sound like a professional publishing house that's looking for cheap work. Instead, say, I write and publish my own books for Amazon Kindle and sometimes in paperback. I wouldn't even say CreateSpace. They might not be familiar with that term. I don't know. And you could say, you know, I do this 3 or 4 times a year, and I'm whatever your circumstances are, and say, I would really like somebody that I could talk to and give them some ideas about what I'm looking for, and that they could create a cover for me that would be acceptable for the specific requirements from Kindle and Amazon to do a paperback book. So that's one way that you could handle it. Another thing you can do is look at other people's books, because all of us are giving credit to the people who design those covers and do the photography. So any picture that you see of me, I didn't take it myself, so I'm giving credit to the person that is doing that. So that's one way to find out. But let's talk again about writing and publishing. I consider that what I do in my business is 8 streams of online income. And in the beginning, I really took Amazon for granted. I was an affiliate for them and made some money promoting a variety of things in a variety of ways. And then finally in 2010, finally I had my own book. And very quickly, I wrote another couple of books that I put on Kindle only. So within that first year and a half, I had 4 books. And finally, not long after that, I had another paperback book. I had huge profits with affiliate marketing. So I was starting to do this quickly, and my income was starting to rise. And I saw that if I marketed in a certain way, if I always talked about my books, if I added information about my books in my autoresponder messages, if I included information in courses that I was teaching and products that I was selling, in social media sites, that my books would sell more and more. Then came along Kindle Select. The Kindle Select program is just for books on Kindle, and it allows you to give away for free your book for up to 5 days every 90 days. And I don't do this nearly enough because I have so many books that I would be able to give away. Typically, if I'm speaking somewhere, I give away a book that weekend. That's usually always a smart idea. And I do a variety of other things. And you might say, well, I'm trying to make money with my books. Why in the world would I want to give them away? You want to give them away to your community. It's a nice thing to do. So if I do a launch, I only do a launch on a paperback book. I usually don't do a launch ever for a Kindle book. Instead, I'd love for my online community to pick up my Kindle books for free, leave me a review, and that boosts me up in the rankings over on Amazon, and immediately I start selling more of those titles. So that has been my strategy, and it works very, very well. All right, other questions about the process? All right, Don says, how many words does it need to be? And Don, I know that you have written books, and I think that your category is airplanes and cars. So, you know, I love some of the stuff that I've seen from you. And how many words really and how many pages, it really is completely up to you. They have rules and restrictions on Amazon, and I believe it's 24 pages for a book on Kindle. I've seen some of the really, really short books that are really a report, and most of them look really terrible. They're really, really awful. So the only really short book that I have is my book on article marketing that's Kindle only, and that one is about 60 pages. That's the shortest that I have, because I think you have to have enough meat in the book, because we're only as strong as our weakest link. And if you put out a series of 3 or 4 or 5 books or more, and one of them is really just a 99-cent pamphlet, and I have friends that tease me when I say pamphlet, because what I mean by that is something that just doesn't have enough content. It doesn't have enough good information to really be available, you know, alongside the other books that are on Kindle and CreateSpace. So I think you want to take a look at that. For my paperback books, I like them to be between 120 and 220 pages, somewhere in there. I know, because I just finished, you know, Living the Internet Lifestyle, I know that that book has 38,000 words and is 216 pages, and took me about three and a half months to write. And that's typically what I do once a year right now. So it's personal, of course. What I recommend, if you don't have anything at all on Amazon, publish a report, make it 50 pages, though. Don't go with whatever that basic, you know, requirement is from them that I believe is 24 pages. One that I saw, the font was about a 14-point font, and it was just at the minimum pages, and it was just so terrible. And I was on a live call, and the person, you know, gave us the link to go and see it, and it was just quite embarrassing to see something with big words like that, and it was just awful. It really was. It didn't represent her well at all. So get a report that has at least 50 pages, so it really is a book. And on Kindle, I really think of that as an ebook. And put it up there just so you have something there. Then work on other things. Later on, you can either completely remove that first book that you have up, or you can go back and modify it. You can add more to it. So how do we get those books longer? You can ask people to submit a chapter. So yours are, I don't even know what category. Don, you know, type in if you want me to say the category, because with yours, I think of them as a combination of information, adventure, how-to, all kinds of things like that. So I love what it is that you're doing. But what about finding other people that are experts and asking them if they would submit a chapter? Right now I'm working on two different chapters for two of my students that are writing their first books, and I said yes, that I would be thrilled to do that. So I'm writing chapters for them, and there are so many people that are just very excited to write a chapter for you. And you give them the guidelines. You say how many words, how many pages, which font to use, the deadline. You know, so give people a few weeks, but don't give them a whole month. It's too long. Don't ask for it in 10 days. That's not enough. So 14 to 21 days is perfect. And also build in deadlines for yourself. So when I do a book, and this is from my experience with weddings, not my own, but family members, you always want to say that the wedding is at least a week before it actually is, so that you get the dress on time, so everything is done in a timely manner and you never have to worry that something won't be finished. So I do that with my books. I always give my providers, you know, if they're doing a cover for me or editing, formatting, whatever they happen to be doing for me, or submitting a foreword or a chapter, anything like that, I always give them a deadline, but that's not my hard deadline. My hard deadline is usually going to be a couple of weeks later. That way I've never had to wait and do anything later than I wanted to. And I give people enough time so that then they contact me and everything works out extremely well. So that's another good way, is to ask other people to contribute content. Now, what people used to do, and they don't do it nearly so much, is they used to go to sites like ezinearticles.com, and you're allowed to take content from there, so people's articles, and people have done this with my articles, and you're able to even put it into a book. Well, I had one person who wrote a book and said that it was written by him and me and a couple of other people, and it started showing up. So I complained to Amazon, because when he had written to me, I said no, I was not interested in contributing to the book. It was kind of a far out type of topic, and I didn't know him well. I had met him at one event and was not interested in doing anything more. And when he said, well, you know, what do you suggest, and I said, well, you know, if you want to use one of my articles that's already out there, do that. And I shouldn't have said that to him, and I have never done that since. But what he did for all of the people, and the other people were more well-known than I was by far, and he just went over to the article directories and grabbed some of our articles and turned it into a book. So I complained to Amazon, and I said he didn't do anything wrong. He took content that I had written for the article directory and included it in his book. But I said, what I don't want is I don't want my name attached to it any more than what he's already done. So they removed what he had put. He had put me as a contributing author. So they removed that. And now, if you search by my name, you'll still find some books, you know, here and there that people have mentioned my name somewhere in them. But it's not attached to me in the same way as it was in the beginning. I never told him I was upset with him. But what he really did was kind of ruin his reputation with all of us. because then, you know, we no longer would entertain any ideas from him in the future because of how he handled this. So that's something to think about. All right, any other question? We still have a few more minutes. So if you're thinking about getting your first or your next book up, I would encourage you to do so. The way you want to start is think of the idea and the message that you want to get out to the world. That's important because we can't just keep writing. You know, I see people do that. They just keep writing and writing and writing, and I was determined that I was not going to do that, but I still wanted to have more books out there. So each book has a different message. It's information that I want to share with my target audience somewhere in the world. So think of the idea that you have and the message you want to convey, and then start your outline. I had wanted to write for many, many, many years, probably for 30 years. And I didn't write because anytime I started to, I would just start typing, and I type with two fingers, so you know that doesn't go very quickly, no matter what I'm doing. And I would start typing, and I didn't have an outline, so after a few pages, sometimes I'd make it to 20 pages, but that was a miracle, I would stop because I didn't have an outline. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know how to really deliver the information. Once I learned how to do an outline, everything changed, because that way I could divide my book into sections and divide each section into chapters. And finally, after I've done that, after I've written on it, you know, during the first month, and I usually don't write for more than an hour a day, and I do it early in the morning, that's the best for me. So after I do that, finally, I'm just filling in the blanks. I'm seeing what I still need to add to the different sections and to the different chapters. I would encourage you to do the same thing. One way you can do that is look at a lot of books that you have in your own library. Hopefully you're like me and have bookshelves surrounding you on all walls. I'm looking now in my home office, and I've got one, two, three, four, five, six. I have six bookshelves that are four shelves each. So, oh, and I have a couple of big ones that are five shelves each. So lots and lots of books. Just open them up and look for the kind of books, though, that you're going to be writing. So for me, they would be business-type books, because that's what I'm writing. I'm writing books on entrepreneurship, small business, that type of thing, and see how they've divided up their chapters. You can also go on Amazon and do a look inside, and you can get an idea there how the books are broken up. And then you create an outline for yourself, and then every day go in and add a little more to it. Your writing will go more quickly, and you'll be quite proud of what you have. Remember, with this business, whether you're just doing self-publishing, you're creating information products, you're doing affiliate marketing, whatever you're doing, there are many parts of the business that you are not the best one to be doing them. When I think back to all the hundreds and hundreds of articles that I submitted to a variety of directories and queried other newsletters and easing authors and offline publications if they were interested, I was doing clerical work. I was doing work that goes for $10 or $15 an hour on the internet during my valuable time that I could be doing something else that I'm good at, writing and creating courses. So now I no longer do it. I have people that are wonderful at doing it. They can do it much faster than I can do it. If somebody types with 10 fingers, they have me beat right there. And they earn some money. They work for me and for several other people simultaneously. And that work can go quickly. Anything that has to do with graphic design, setting up websites, doing book covers, I'm not good at that. I am a Photoshop class dropout. The last time I tried to learn Photoshop was in the summer of 2007. I took a two-week course at my community college that was all day, every day. It was from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, for 2 weeks. And it was quite exhausting. I really was sincere in my efforts trying to master some of the skills that I needed. It was credit, no credit. I was quite shocked when I received credit for the course. I didn't feel that I deserved credit. I felt that I deserved to receive a no credit for that. So perhaps the instructor just really felt sad for me and gave me credit, but I didn't learn very much, and that was the last time I promised myself that I would not do graphics again. Instead, I would find other people that would help me. The same thing with a variety of things, such as submitting articles, doing web design and other technical things, setting up membership sites that are very detailed because of the type of sites I'm setting up. And so that's, other work that I let someone else do because they're just so excellent at it, and it frees up my time to do those things that I'm best suited for. So take a look at both things. Take a look at ConnieReaganGreenBooks.com, and also take a look at Dennis Becker's course, which is the hands-free outsourcing, which is at ConnieLoves.me/outsourced, OUTSOURCED, outsourced past tense, and you'll be able to get an idea of how you can start having other people help you with a variety of tasks and activities that will make your business skyrocket. It's helped my income to quintuple in these last 4 to 5 years and gives me a lot more time. I really only work a few hours in the morning, and a couple of times a week I do a call such as this in the afternoon, and that's all that I'm doing. All right, well, if you're in the U.S., then you are approaching the Independence Day, 4th of July celebrations, and have a wonderful weekend. If you are anywhere else in the world, it is still 4th of July for you. You just are doing different things on the 4th of July. So let me see if there are any last questions. And I think I have them all. You're welcome. Oh, I'm getting lots of thank yous in here. Well, I aim to please with these calls. Remember, they're all turned into podcasts. Go over to iTunes and search for Online Marketing Tips Podcast with Connie Reagan Green. Thanks so much for joining me, and have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.